Blog Talk Radio.
Am Yisrael Heim Aminim, B'nei Aminim. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, is omnipresent and ever-guiding. I believe with complete faith that Hashem is one. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, is non-corporeal and is not describable. I believe with complete faith that the Holy One, blessed be His name, is the beginning and the ultimate. I believe with complete faith that to Hashem alone is it fitting to pray. I believe with complete faith that all the words of the prophets are absolutely true. I believe with complete faith that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophetic vision was absolutely true, and he was the father of all the prophets. I believe with complete faith that the entire Torah was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem. I believe with complete faith that this Torah will never be changed. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, knows every thought of man. I believe with complete faith that Hashem, blessed be His name, punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. I believe with complete faith in the coming of Mashiach. I believe with complete faith that there will be a revival of the dead.
Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly sit with a higher inner frequency. This is Soul Class 732. We are in the month of mercies. Now what? Blessed is our eternal creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, blessing and bracha, blessing for the entire human family experience. Vibing and scribing and jamming and slamming. 7.7 billion human souls, all anointed, never to be disappointed with the knowledge they have a divine image. It'll help them get in scrimmage. The Tzelem Elohim is no dream. With Creator's help, our next broadcast is right now taking place on the last day of August, August 31st, 2019, starting at 11 o'clock, although it's 11:03 right now, Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA, equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will cover some matters pertaining to the time we have reached. Baruch Hashem, blessed is the Almighty Creator, Kodesh Elo, coined by our Israelite sages, the month of mercy. The call number will be, if you have to be catching us on the fly, is 347-838-8669. At this time as well, we're asking if you blessed souls to help us spread our message to more and more human souls by contributing to our account at paypal.me/Don, D-O-N-Z-U-S-Y-A, Goodman. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. And we're listening to In the Field from the wonderful group Rea Mehemna, featuring Isaac Breton, my neighbor, my brother in soul, spirit, and arms, who came up with the title for this radio broadcast 10 years ago by calling it Soul Class, S standing for an acronym for S7O, oldest U, universal L laws, the Shevamith of Bnei Noach. And let's just turn down the music and we get on with the shoe. Thank you very much, Rabbi Isaac. That's wonderful music. Okay, blessed souls, we are in the month of Elul. We are 29 days plus now into the new year. We're currently in Tuf Shin Ayin Test, which is 5779, 5,799 years since the beginning of the creation in relation to original man and woman, Adam and Eve, the original stewards of this blessed earth, and we're entering to the year 5780, which in Hebrew is Tuf Shin Pei, which is an acronym for Tehei Shnas Pelah, should be a year of wonder. But a year of wonder must first start with us understanding that Peleh, the osios of Peleh, the Hebrew letters of Lashon HaKodesh, Pei Lamed Aleph, also can be reversed to be spelled Aleph Lamed Pei Aleph, which is the beginning. And in the beginning, the Creator gave us instruction to seek out the wonder of Creator's instruction. And so too our sages have designated this time as a time of mercy, days of will, with the Almighty stands ready to accept all of us to return to the Creator with a full heart for the entire new coming year. And these days are very, by their very nature, give us the wonderful opportunity to return and get closer to the Creator. Why, from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Hebrew calendar month, are these such propitious days? Because it was 3,331 years ago plus, as of today, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, returned to Mount Sinai after the horrendous tragic event for the Israelites with the worshipping of the golden calf, and Moses and his pristine wisdom and judgment as the lawgiver of Israel, broke the two tablets that were given to him by the Almighty on Mount Sinai. He returned back there on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which was today, 3,331 days ago, and came back down 40 days later, on the 10th of Tishrei, which represented the final means of atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And it was established from those days until these days, until eternity. These are days of goodwill and mercy, and we commemorate the day that the Moshe Rabbeinu came down, Moses, as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and this was as instructed to us by the mighty Levi prophet. Now, this time we start to blow the shofar, maybe some of you have heard of it. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard the ram's horn. It's a little too late for me to blow it right now. Maybe the future show will blow it. As well, we have a wonderful custom that I want to share with you, blessed souls, that we read every day from now until Hoshana Rabbah. So basically, for the next 51 days, we will be reading chapters 27 in Psalms, by the psalmist Naim Yisrael, the sweet song of Israel, King David. And chapter 27 goes something like this. By David, the Creator is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Creator is the strength of my life, whom shall I dread? When evildoers approached me to devour my flesh, my oppressors and my foes, they stumbled and fell. If an army were to beleaguer me, my heart would not fear. If war to arise against me, in this I trust. One thing I have asked of the Creator, this I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Creator all the days of my life, to behold the pleasantness of the Creator and to visit in Creator's sanctuary. For He will hide me in His tabernacle on the day of adversity. He will conceal me in the hidden places of His tent. He will lift me upon a rock, and then my head will be raised above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of jubilation. I will sing and chant to the Creator. Creator, hear my voice as I call. Be gracious to me. And answer in your behalf, my heart says, quote, seek my countenance, end quote. Your countenance, Creator, I seek. Do not cancel do not conceal your countenance from me. Do not cast aside your servant in wrath. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me. God of my deliverance, through my father and mother forsaken me, the Creator has taken me in. Creator, teach me your way and lead me in the path of righteousness because of my watchful enemies. Do not give me over to the will of my oppressors, for there have risen against me false witnesses, and they speak evil. They would have crushed me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Creator in the land of the living. Hope in the Creator, be strong, and let your heart be valiant, and hope in the Creator. Wonderful words, blessed. So this is for anyone. I implore anyone of the nation of Israel who is not aware of this custom, and also for the blessed children of Noah, to consider the words of the sweet singer of Israel, Na'im Zmeros Yisrael. And now we're going to go into some oral Torah traditions to embellish that teaching, to show insights, to gain further nourishment from the words of the king, the prophet, the musician. If you want to say poet, I guess you can too. We have one caller. Maybe we'll, why not? Let's make this program a little bit organic. Good morning, good afternoon, blessed soul. Where are you calling from?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. How you doing tonight, Brother Soul?
Shalom, sir. Shalom, sir. It's a pleasure to have you on from Arizona. Wow. You're quite a distance, but yet when you're connected, we're all connected to the same source. Thank you for calling tonight.
Amen. Wow, it's a different world we live in, and there's so many things that everybody is doing all at once, and it's hard for us to work together if we don't understand its power in the whole circle. What I mean by that is we don't cut down trees, but we need the oxygen, and we give them the carbon dioxide, and it's a constant five. It's five things is always moving, and five senses, and we don't control them, but they're always going.
Yes, sir. And we talk about the circle, the source of the circle. The Almighty made the earth cylindrical, you might say, or oval, you might say, but it all comes from one source. And in the divergence and the differences of peoples, and in the abundance of the gathering of all the peoples together, is truly the to the glory of the King for us to call upon the one source of all. And what I don't know if you heard what I just read from chapter 27. We of Israel have a long heralded custom from now until the Hebrew lunar calendar year for basically the next 51 days, even going past the new year, the Hebrew calendar day, to read from chapter 27. And I am humbly suggesting to anyone to read the words of the king, prophet, poet, musician, King David, where he mentions that the Creator is the light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For David talks about distress as darkness, but salvation is light. And the Creator is the ultimate source of our illumination. As King David wrote in chapter 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a lamp to my path. And the from our heralded oral Torah tradition, sir, that King David wrote, when I begin to study what we know as scripture or Torah in the Hebrew, I grasp only a small amount, but gradually the wellsprings of understanding starts to flow like the light of a lamp which is limited by its size and intensity. However, when I reach the level of total immersion in my learning, many great pathways open wide before me, and I perceive endless light for my path. Sir, you said you're a pastor, a minister. How we must empower the masses to realize they have a portion in the Creator's plan. They have a portion in the Creator's instruction. And every one of us can be a light to enlighten another person. Your take on these matters?
Yes, I agree 100%. The only thing what I want to say is a lot of times we don't understand the power of words, and we don't understand how to actually apply wisdom. A lot of us, we do a lot of reading, but we don't share the wisdom and knowledge, and we're digesting information right now at 280 characters every 15 seconds. So the people who understand their information, like back in the day when they would sit around a campfire and the wise people would explain to the young people, and it was values. We don't have those values as a people in the whole. There's no love in the world. So it's helping us lose our faith. And faith is evidence of the things hoped for and not seen. And we can't, if we don't have hope, we can't go forward. And that's when people have cancer and bad situations, and they overcome them because they have that willpower. And then some things, when they break the spirit, it's hard to keep going. So the spirit never leaves the earth. So it's like our elders and our wisdom and the people that pass that knowledge on, that love is lost because we're lost in these text messages and we're not verbally speaking to the right people. So I really honor you for what you're doing. It's hard to put these shows together and get to meet because you never know who's going to call. And then the thing is with the cloud, once you put it down now, people can download this 100,000 times. They can stream it and listen to it for the next 150 years. And because it's wisdom and information, the energy, what is accepted, is going to change. But if we don't apply the knowledge, we can't see forth change right in that moment. How do you feel about that, brother?
Yes, sir. Well, I don't believe in ivory tower scholarship. I don't believe in Ivy Tower superficial learning. I believe that just as I must chew my food properly to digest it properly, whatever I try to learn, when I have the time to learn it, I try to take it in slowly and digest it properly. And the litmus test, sir, from my understanding, is can I share it with another person in a way that not only will they be able to understand it, the lever that, because I'm in the social services field, sir, I try to meet the person where they are, but I find where I'm able to explain something of the spirit to someone else, not only does if they're receptive to it and my words come out from the depths of my heart, not only do they gain some edification from it, but I find myself growing in the process because I took something very pristine and very precise in its nature and recapitulate it or put it into allegory or proverb, and actually it helps me grow in my own personal development. That's how I feel about it.
I love it. It's very deep and passionate, and it's personal. So, and the biggest thing about it is right now we're trapped in history and time because of the recording. A lot of stuff was recorded in the shows and in the scriptures, but we have this digital element of it. So it's on the cloud and it's out there forever. And every time I hear these wonderful words, I'm taking notes because it's so many things in this world that we talk about behind the scenes. We can't get into a town hall meeting and actually bring forth change because we're not working together. And that's the one thing about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's like a triangle, but it's also a circle. It's like hot and cold, but it's the Holy Spirit that lets you know which way you should go. Some days you wake up and you don't feel good. You don't want to do anything. Some days you wake up and you feel more motivated than anybody in the world. So with that duration and that duality, I look at things with the bigger picture and not one pixel. And now, like I said, you've done over 700 shows, and it's hard to. 7, 3, 7, 11, and 12, these numbers have been falling out everywhere in front of me. And I can't stop thinking about it. And because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, 7 days in a week. 11 is the beginning of the master numbers, 11, 22, 33, and 44. But 12 for the 12 disciples, the 12 months in a year, the 12 steps. It's 12, and these numbers keep flowing. So while I have your line open, what does it mean when numbers keep flowing like that, like when you keep seeing the same four numbers?
Well, so I'm not, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'll mention one more 12, the 12 tribes of Israel. But as far as that, as you just mentioned, that is kind of, that's a question, I'll be honest with you, that's a question wider than my two shoulders, whether it be as far as my right shoulder extends out or my left shoulder. So I really can't respond to it. So I don't even know where you can go to. You know, I don't know. I just honestly can't answer you. It's a good question. I just don't have the ability to answer it. But I would like to share another thing that that King David made a request, and on the oral Torah tradition explains, I think, beautifully, where King David says in chapter 27, verse 4 in Psalms, one thing I asked of Creator that I seek, that I dwell in the house of Creator all the days of my life. So what was this one thing that King David asked for? That what he was asking, because he was already a king when he asked such a, made such a request. And a king basically dwells with the grace of the Almighty, a king, a real king. We're talking about, you know, not a charlatan, but a real person of kingly nobility and character. The kingship that he was seeking was to be enveloped by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, because the true royalty of a human being is to receive the Holy Spirit of the Almighty, which is the higher form of royalty which King David aspired. You're taking this matter, sir.
Well, I do believe in what you said, because David had a special relationship with God. And the thing is, what I mean by that is, they always said that David was a man after his own spirit. And David had a love of serving God. And no matter what went on, as a kid, he played with lions and stuff, so he had a heart of gold. Like, he would have to make sure that bears and stuff would not come and get the sheep. So he played with the lions. So all his life, he had a different situation. And not to mention, his brothers always thought he was going to be the running one and not the king. So with him saying those kind of things, he understand the mind of God. And that's why I say you can't grieve the spirit. I can't get so wrapped up into what faith is the right faith, long as we're talking about the word, we're starting to let God operate. we are his imagination walking. And as far as the scripture that you just read, that's one of my favorites, man. I don't wanna go deep with it, but just knowing who David was as a person and where when he wrote that scripture, he said it from a pure love for the Holy Spirit because he always was anointed before Jesse came and seen him.
Thank you, sir. Beautiful. I'd like to, Mike, we're coming to the end of the show, sir. I just want to share something which this is, I don't know if you're familiar with these teachings. These are from the oral tradition of Israel. These are actually considered to be the first word, what we know as Chassidut, from the Holy Zohar, Milah Chassidusa, that these are words were meant for the masses of Israel and for the nations of the world. And now they've come out in the last 50, 60, 70 years in English. But, you know, for many years, the Jewish people felt oppressed and they were afraid to share these teachings because of fear of being accused of trying to convert people. We have no commandment to convert anyone, but rather to reveal that everyone has a divine image. Everyone is made in the image of God. And here's a teaching that I think that you'll be able to latch onto, sir. This is from the book Pirkei Avos, the book of our fathers, a book of ethical teachings. In chapter 5, teaching 16, any love that is dependent upon a special consideration, when that consideration vanishes, the love ceases. But is not dependent on a specific consideration, it will never cease. What is the love that was dependent upon a specific thing? The love of Amnon and Tamar. Amnon was one of the sons of David, who unfortunately seduced his half-sister Tamar, and eventually he had an unfortunate end being killed by one of King David's other sons, Absalom, as we call him in Hebrew, and one which is not dependent on a specific thing, the great love between David and Jonathan, Jonathan being the son of King Saul. Any take on these matters, sir, on unconditional or unconditional love?
Very deep. And that's the key. From what I was taught from living in 40 out of 50 states, a lot of times finances changes the love when people's hearts so fast. And in this case, what I'm getting is it was the birthright. Back in those days, in those times, your birthright was your wealth. The more ox, chickens, livestock you had, that means your family's well off. The more handmaids and manservants, that means you was really well off, but that birthright was the ultimate wealth in your family. And the more prestigious and the better representation your father had made it better for the son. So to hear why Jonathan was so loved, it all made sense. I'll definitely latch on to this teaching because it's 100% in line of knowing it and appointing. So it's perfect, man. That was an excellent way how you broke it down.
Thank you, sir. One more teaching before we have to close out tonight. This is from Chapter 5, Mishnah, or Teaching 19. Whoever possesses the following three characteristics is of the disciples of Abraham, our father, one of the three patriarchs of Israel, and the three opposite characteristics of the disciples of the wicked Bilam. He was the Midianite prophet who tried to curse Israel. The disciples of our father Abraham possessed a good eye, a humble spirit, and a meek soul. The disciples of the wicked Bilam possess an evil eye, an arrogant spirit, and a greedy soul. What is the difference between the disciples of Abraham, our father, and the disciples of the wicked Bilam? The disciples of Abraham, our father, eat, enjoy the fruits of their good qualities in this world and inherit the world to come. As it stated, to cause those who love me to inherit an everlasting possession in the world to come, and I will fill their storehouses in this world. The disciples of the wicked Bilam inherit hell and descend into the nethermost pit, as it is stated. And you, O God, will bring them down to the nethermost pit. Bloodthirsty and treacherous men shall not live out half their lives, but I will trust in you. And that's a quote from King David's Psalms, chapter 55, verse 24. So the whole idea of spreading the love of the Creator, we know that Abraham is known as the father of many nations. He is the source of the Hebraic faith, the Islamic faith, and the Christian faith. So no one should feel distance from Abraham. So therefore, we can all be included in the students of Abraham to spread the love of Creator. Your take on these matters?
I definitely believe that. And the thing about a lot of people don't know about Abraham, again, going back into where Abraham was when he started his walk, he was very well off. He had no reason to leave. Him stepping out away from his family. Now, a lot of people don't know that his father was an idol maker. So
that's right.
He was aware of a lot of things that most people don't think about. So for him to take a step and say, hey, I'm going after the Holy Spirit and where we need to be, that's why the religion goes into the building and not the spirits that make the building. If that makes any sense.
So it makes sense, but I have news for you. The Bible, the five books of Moses, there is no place where it's written that this is a religion. This is the law of the Almighty, the teachings of the Almighty.
Yeah.
In the modern sense, things have become, so to speak, compartmentalized in the Western civilization. So this becomes to appear with all the trappings of religion. But the truth of the matter is, there is no such religion of the nation of Israel. We have our faith and we have our Torah, we have our prophets, we have our oral Torah tradition. I just want to clarify, we are a faith, we are a nation, but at the same time too, we call out to all the nations that everyone has a place from Scripture. I am a believer in the 100% in the biblical narrative of the great flood, and we are all descendants of Noah, whether we go through the Hamadic line, whether we come through the Japhetic line or the Shemitic line. We are all coming from a source which gives us a commonality. And one of the things that my mentor, Lubavitcher, once said, if we meditate on our common things that we share with each other, it really outweighs our differences. But unfortunately, some people want to point out the differences and want to say that they're greater than our common matters.
Again, it gets back into what I said earlier and the part of your teaching, why I really love it. You're not bringing, like, you got something stuck in your throat, and I'm not hating on anybody that presents messages like that. I'm saying that you're breaking it down. So whether you understand the word or understand the words, you're giving the actual origin of the words. And for me, I look at what was going on along with the origin. You know, it's like looking at a real nice LCD screen and you focusing on one color when it's 256 colors in the spectrum that's right there in front of you, and they all messed up with pixels. So all these things I'm saying, you're onto something that's really larger than yourself, and a lot of people can't amplify to the right audience because they don't have the right PA system. If you don't, if you have 1,000 people show up and you want to talk to the 1,000 people and you don't have a PA system, the first 100 can hear you, but the other 900 is lost. And then when you bring in this Wi-Fi and the social media, emails, we're all distracted. So it's hard to get the message out. And then when you're saying something positive, it's hard to get people to come back. But the negative, they fry on that. So when you talk about the father of faith, Abraham, and the descendants, I believe that Abraham really kicked it off for us, because everything that I preach are these three messages: faith, love, and hope. First, you have to love something, yourself. You got to love something bigger than yourself.
Yes.
You got to hope that you're doing the right thing. But then at the end of the day, we gotta feel it. When you know you're doing the right thing for the right people, you feel a good feeling in your spirit. If you give somebody a dollar on the street, you're feeling good because you did the right thing. If you get to tell your woman or your wife or your loved ones, I love you, you feel good. But when you do wrong, you get that eerie feeling. So that's the Holy Spirit inside of you. So everything that you said about the faith of Abraham, again, he left his father to go make sure that this nation is what it is. He deserves more props. So it's when they say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they don't understand that's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It all still rolls in together. So no matter how much we're supposed to be on one fence, it's hard for us because we are so busy knocking down what the other one's doing. That's my take on what you just said.
I just want to comment so that I do not come as an authoritarian. I consider myself a cyberspace librarian, and I have been advised to and blessed by my mentors to do this, to open up human dialogue. And I thank you, sir, for again. You said you're pastor. What was your name again, please?
Don.
Sir.
DonJrCEO. Pastor Don Jr. CEO.
Okay.
So
do you have a platform that you speak?
Yes, I do. I have 3 million total global listeners, and I'm syndicated in 25 AM and FM radio markets. I've been on over 4,500 radio shows like this. I have a database, and I have 768 major media outlets that I'm helping people like yourself get the word out. You can't get to 7 trillion people on the planet with just speaking to the same 10 people in the 10-block radius. So I really believe that we need to have more conversation and dialogue, get out our cell phones and get on the phone and say hi, hello. Not the text message, because if you take the word H-O-W and you add the E, because
it didn't did it. Now this word is ho, and it was supposed to have been how. And that, just that one little change adds extra energy, and everything changes with a relationship, not even saying a woman, a business relationship. It could be somebody needing ministry, but just texting them, things get lost. So we having this conversation. This is education. At the same time, it's the wisdom in action in real time. That's why I say,
sir.
Man, you on fire, brother. I'm taking notes.
Thank you. And we have a saying: the Almighty blesses another who blesses another. So the good news is you blessed me. The good news I'm going to refract back to you is you blessed me. So the Creator blesses you with a double strength. So, sir, I'm on Facebook, Donzusy Goodman, D-O-N. Zusyagoodman. If you want to send me I'll even give you my email. If you want to continue this conversation, say tomorrow, then coming days, that's Don Goodman, Dongoodman, numerical6@gmail.com. We can continue the dialogue, but I do have to wrap things up. I thank you, sir, for coming on. The Almighty should bless you and your family.
Amen.
And community where you are in Arizona. And if any last words of wisdom before we sign off tonight.
I surely do. This is what I wake up and say every day to get my jump start, my spirit. This goes out to 300 winning team members. And it reads, this is the day, my day. I will control of it what I can and release of that what I can't. I will be confident in myself. Resilience will trump rejection. Favor will overcome frustration. For every yes, I secure the victory. For every no, I plan to see. Every contact is a new opportunity, a new challenge, a moment of truth. I'm important. I make a difference. I'm powerful. I'm loved. I'm inspired by those around me. I am humble. Each humble moment, I am thankful for. I have become stronger. For I have become stronger. For I have become stronger. I am an ambassador for humanity, the voice of, and for many. The sick, the unborn, the hungry, created by the Almighty. Thank you for all. I shall prevail. That's for your spirit. And that's for your billions of listeners to come.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And with that, blessed souls, we're going to conclude tonight with a wonderful song by Rabbi Shlomo Carbach. He was an epic singer. He went to the next level of life about 25 years ago. He wrote a song called Return Again. Returning again means we have to return to our true land. Our true promised land is the land of our soul, S-O-U-L. Enjoy, everyone, and have a wonderful week.